back to the Ben and Skin Show on 97.1 The Eagle.
Call 5 right now, 214-787-1971. Going to win a pair of tickets to the NHRA Fall Nationals. The Stampede of Speed, they call it, Christina.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening October 2nd through 12th at Texas Motorplex in Ennis. Caller 5, you're the winner. Go, go, go.
Before we get too far into sports, we are going to mention Live to Give here in a second. But I got a tweet from a listener, and it's a good listener. You know how sometimes you'll see a tweet and you'll recognize the avatar?
Yeah.
You go, oh, yeah, I've seen this person before.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm going to need you to quit hating on Byron Nelson.
Ooh,
sheesh. What's your deal, man?
And which I think is already not fair because I was hating on McKinney Boyd. F those guys. Said, my son, number 14, is the number 5 receiver in the state, and I love you guys and the show, but come on, man. LOL. Which is, this is a really cool twist. He didn't put much continued sex on the eagle. He put munch, which I like
Ooh,
better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of making it freaky.
Why?
Gross.
You know why.
Oh.
You dirty whore. So I said, what's his name? And he said, this is a really kick-ass name. His name is Landon Ransom.
Let's go.
What a dope name,
yeah.
Right? So then he tagged his son, Landon Superman 2, on the Twitter, and I clicked on it. And bro, the first thing I saw, which I just retweeted, was the CW33 TV tweeting out a highlight of Landon Ransom, and it's a badass grab, dude. He just skied over the cornerback who had his back turned.
He's number 5 in the state.
Well, I'm about to get a tweet from number 5 for McKinney Boyd. My son's the cornerback who got beat on that play. But I want everyone to see this play. It's a great play, and is a great listener. And I think that we should adopt Landon Ransom is the official high school receiver of the Ben and Skin Show this
fall. Yeah, ransomware. Let's go.
Ransomware.
Oh, I love that.
That we could get caps that are ransomware. That's genius, Christina.
I love that. Yeah, especially if his dad's a listener.
Yes.
I mean, I know there's a great receiver at Prosper High School that I love.
But I'm a Landon Ransom guy.
But, yeah, I'm kind of becoming a Landon Ransom guy, too.
And now with the whole ransomware thing that's taken off.
A must.
And then he also did a hashtag grow the show, so he's been listening for a long time.
Okay.
Nice.
So, and then I like the idea of this, since this whole ransomware is taken off with Landon Ransom, what if they were to do their own line of merchandise with Live to Give? If you go to livetogive.com, badass coffee subscription, incredible gear. You'll see very sexy Tim Urban modeling it on their website. And then I love when I walk into a place and they have Live to Give water bin. I know I'm at the right place. If I walk in Rudy's and I see Live to Give, I'm at the right place. If I walk into a local convenience store, I know the good folks out at Brew City, they carry it. Like the people that listen and they carry it, those are our people. So carry this water. If you see it, buy it. Half of the net profits go to charities that benefit veterans and first responders, and we are big fans of that. But right now, it's time for this.
Ha ha ha, Ben and Skin listeners, here comes KT Fun Tweets with Around the Sports.
Now let's go around the sports. KT Fun Tweets has all the sports,
Ladies and gentlemen, they did it. The Cowboys won.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah. 20-17.
What a game.
They win on a 56-yard field goal from Greg Zuerlein. So there's a lot to discuss about this game, and we covered a lot of it in the Cussing the Cowboys podcast that will be available on the iHeart app after the show.
And we'll blast it out on all our platforms as well, so everybody can get a listen on that bad boy.
But
I thought you were excellent on that today.
If I could, just stop the music for a second.
Oh.
She just walked away to take a caller. Yeah.
I want to say
the winner info
to you, Skin. I thought you were brilliant on Cussing the Cowboys today. I didn't want any more time to go without me telling you, you'll probably win an award for today.
I felt the same about you, and I thought both you and I really had to step our game up since KT was a non-factor. So, kudos to you.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
And I see what
you're
doing.
Bro.
I'm happy football season's here.
Yeah, me too, man. Great job by you.
You too, brother.
All right, Christina, sorry.
You can play the music now, Christina.
Oh, Kevin.
I kind of shot my wad on the About Them Cowboys podcast. The
Now, what does that mean?
Just kind of spit my takes.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean, Kevin? It
means I already did a Cowboys podcast. So by the time I got to Cussing the Cowboys, I'd already done one.
So you spit out the takes.
It's like a doubleheader.
Somebody
like,
put their takes. You consumed someone else's takes.
You swallowed the takes from the other podcast?
No, you spit them out.
Only original takes.
I thought you swallowed up the takes on that other podcast and tried to spit them out on this one.
Doesn't matter. They won 20-17. It felt like it was a game they were kind of dominated until we got to halftime and it was tied. And I think the turning point that stopped it from being a dominant game is when the Cowboys were about to get the ball back. It's 14-11, weirdly. They're about to get the ball back. And the Chargers are going to punt. And you can just, you know, hey, call off the dogs, fair catch, that, you know, try to get a return, and then you get the ball back with 2 minutes and three timeouts.
Are you talking about on 4th and 20,
yeah,
Kevin?
Yeah, they decided to go and punt the block, and Azur Kamara ran into the punter. So you get a roughing the punter call, and the Chargers kept the ball and ended up getting a field goal to make it 14-14 at halftime.
It immediately ruined. Wait, no, I don't think they got the field goal until the second half.
No, they tied.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
It immediately ruined everything Kamara had done on Hard Knocks. And I want them to go back and erase all of the footage of him on Hard Knocks. It's the dumbest thing ever. We talk about it all the time.
You're right, though. They missed that field goal.
They missed the field goal.
He missed it.
And,
sorry.
But the whole point is this, is especially if you receive the ball, all right, which the Cowboys did, and didn't they score their first touchdown on a drive on the opening drive in 1,000 years or whatever that was? So you've done your job, but the way that good teams get up on you, especially when it's a couple of compromised defenses, is they manipulate the clock to have the ball at the end of the first half and score, and then they get back-to-back possessions. And it puts enormous pressure on the other team's defense. And to be sitting there, even if you don't go down and score, you use up that remaining time. Now, I would maintain, with the way the Cowboys were moving the ball, worst-case scenario, you have a field goal attempt at the end of the first half.
For sure.
And that is so effing stupid. What are you going to gain on 4th and 20, you moron? God, that is dumb. It's so dumb. And we saw it came down to the end, like it always does. They escaped that mistake. They escaped that mistake. But it is so freaking stupid that it frustrates me to no end that these are professionals that get paid all this money to make dumb decisions like that. It drives me nuts.
And we've talked about this before. Why don't they have somebody who's just there for that? The clock management assistant.
Yeah.
Well, my question is if they do have that, which they should, Ben, you're right, is he on the same headset as Bones, who apparently runs autonomously and does whatever he wants because his brother coached the Giants one time? I don't understand any of that. I don't understand any of that. And I'm sorry, man. I mean, I know we make fun of McCarthy on this show, and he comes off like a dumb guy and all that stuff. But, dude, if that was me, if I'm McCarthy, then I at least, for Dog and Pony Show, go chew that guy's ass out on the sideline and humiliate him just so I can pretend to be a coach that matters. Because those decisions are so critical. If you are going to do something like that, which that is a seismic play, if you have the authority to do that, how does the coach not know you're going to do it? We bring this up every single time. Whether you do or don't like Bill Parcells, he killed stuff all the time. Because he's like, in the grand scheme of things, this is going to ruin how we manage a game. I'm not letting you do this. And I just don't understand how a head coach cannot know that someone's going to, you know, push their entire nest egg into the middle of the pot. It drives me nuts.
He might have known, but it was a terrible thing that happened. But, all right, you escape it, you get through it, whatever. You kind of get down to the end of the game, and the game had slowed down to a point where the Chargers kind of took over the game in the third quarter, and they kind of had control of the ball, things like that. They tied it at 14. The Cowboys got it back. They got really lucky that the Chargers had to go, and the Chargers gave the Cowboys the ball back, and they threw an interception. Because the Chargers were about to score. We're tied at 14. They were about to score at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
The Cowboys got real lucky. They got an interception. Casey.
Yeah, Casey.
And then they had that 2 20-yard runs to Tony Pollard back-to-back. Now, Tony Pollard is the backup running back, and he had 100 yards rushing. Had a more effective day than Zeke, although Zeke was good too, I would say. I think they work well together. But then the fourth quarter comes. They ended up getting a field goal up 17-14. Then they give up a field goal tied. So at 17-17, they got the ball. And this is where the game kind of got real wonky. Right? Things got real weird. There's about 4 minutes left. You've got the ball. They did a couple of good plays, like third short, and they executed and got past midfield. So they throw a slant route to Amari Cooper, and he's hurt. Said it was his rib, but I think he was fine. It'll be fine. They take a timeout. So they got one timeout left. Or they have two at the time. Yeah, they had one timeout left because they burned one earlier. So there's 36 seconds left, one timeout. CBS is like, we're going to commercial. So 36 seconds left. We know we need about 15 yards, you know, to be really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
15 yards, then we can kick a field goal. They call a running play, but they've still commercial break to talk about it. We know we've got a timeout. Well, they call a running play with 36 seconds left. It gets like 3 yards. You've got a third and one coming up, and you're at the 39-yard line, and the clock is ticking, and it's down to 20. When it got to about 20, that's when I went, they don't have a plan.
Yeah.
It was very clear. Because you could burn the timeout and then not have a timeout in case you stayed in bounds, or you could still have a chance to get more yards. Or you could, you know, do what most teams would do, have another play ready to go.
Right.
They didn't have a play ready to go. Didn't have a play ready to go. They're like, well, screw it. We're not going to run another play. And now instead of trying the 45 or a 40-yard field goal, we're going to try a 56-yard field goal because those always, you know, very, they take a timeout with 3 seconds left. It was so bad. It was Garrett-level bad.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you, it's third down. So even if, and I would take you back to last week when they played Tampa, and Tampa was like, yeah, I'd rather give up a timeout and have 10 extra seconds. 10 extra seconds to give up a timeout because we have Tom Brady. If they're that unorganized and they burn the timeout with 20 seconds to go, they can at least run a short out route and get out of bounds.
Two plays should have been called during a commercial break to promote 60 Minutes in tonight's Emmys. Well, they run out Legatron, Greg Zuerlein, who did a bad job. Meanwhile, let me take you to Arizona, because while Greg Zuerlein is about to attempt a 56-yard field goal, this is happening 5 seconds before he kicks it in Arizona in the Minnesota game, in which Minnesota is down by 1 point. Here it comes.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone!
So
are you kidding me? He missed it right. Oh my. He missed it right.
Embarrassing.
Let's hear that again. Listen how excited he was.
High snap. Put down. Joseph, come on. It is gone.
Yes.
He missed it right.
He said it was good.
I saw Cooper's team on Twitter. Your old buddy Edward Egros was asking him questions, KT.
Well, BFF.
And Coop was like, man, wherever you are in that arena, you watch the umps underneath the goalpost.
It's okay to be late.
You don't even have to watch the ball. Watch the guys that are going to tell you if it's good or not.
Radio play-by-play trick forever.
Yes.
It's okay to be late. They can't see it if they're listening to you on radio.
That's true.
Be late on the call. So, Greg Zuerlein, 5 seconds after that Vikings guy screwed up the call, Greg Zuerlein from 56 hooks it in. It didn't look great, but he drained it, and the Cowboys escape with a victory.
And it was good.
It was good.
Good
point.
It was good. Now, here's what Mike McCarthy said, though, after the game about the whole clock thing. I thought it was very interesting that he just lied.
The clock situation just to the end was different. I've never had a clock go off the board on me.
What?
Like that. So, you know, the second down, you know, we're trying to, you know, chip away and just get a shorter field goal. And so we were in an attempt to a third down play, and then kicking on fourth was the time frame we were in, 17 seconds, I think. So we were right on the threshold. You know, we get into these two-minute drills, you have thresholds, 1 minute, what? 30 seconds, 17 seconds. So we were right at the threshold there of our operation. And
operation.
So we had a personnel, you know, one of our players came off that, you know, shouldn't have come off, and just communication there. So then we were just going to run it down. But the the clock I was watching went off the board.
Huh?
And then, Clark Kellen had, I think he said a camera, he got blocked by a camera guy. So the communication. So
okay, yeah. That's not funny.
It's so funny.
If your clock went off the board, the clock Kellen was watching got blocked by a camera, then someone needs to be watching the clock because you guys can't do it.
Right, but why did they even run a run play?
I didn't have a problem with the run play. I had a problem with not having a plan for the third down play.
And you knew they didn't have it because nobody got up and got in position. And the problem is, and this is where McCarthy runs into all these problems, because even if the clock suddenly goes away, and even if Kellen Moore suddenly can't see the clock, guess what, guys who've been in football your whole life? The clock still runs.
Right.
It's a live football. You suddenly just don't forget how football works because you don't have vision of a clock. And this goes back to what all the criticisms of McCarthy always are. Do you know who doesn't have problems like this? Is Belichick. Do you know why? Because he's prepared. The knock on McCarthy is that he half-asses practice. He shorts meetings. He's not a hard worker, and he's not prepared for this stuff. And it shows at times like that. And it's frustrating, man, because there are people that are prepared. And it just, I'm so sick of just all this dumb football speak to make up for the fact that you half-assed it. And that's exactly what happened. And you could tell by the body language of the players. They didn't know what was happening next. You half-assed it. And hey, they won. And that's great. And I'm happy that they won. But you watch all that and you go, that's not winning culture. That's dumbass culture.
You can't have that because, as we've talked about so many times, the NFL, there's so much parity. All these teams are somewhat close to one another. And so a lot of these games are incredibly close. And they come down to a couple of different plays. And I mean, you saw games, even the one, the clip you just played from the Vikings game. You know, it's like all these games come down to the last second. And so you would think that one area that you could separate yourself from the pack was like being really good at negotiating the clock and,
yes,
and handling those real game situations. So
terrible.
To be bad in that space, like you don't even have that many other responsibilities as a head coach. You're the pep talk guy. You get everyone excited, ready for the show. You deal with the media all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the offensive coordinator's calling the plays on offense. The defensive coordinator's calling the plays on defense. The special teams coordinator's calling the plays on special teams. All you got to do is sit back and either override those things or not. But your main job should be clock management.
Yes. And to your point, Ben, there are these things that do work autonomous of one another. So it is your job to synthesize that. I mean, the most famous example ever is on the sideline of the Houston game when Buddy Ryan went over and punched Kevin Gilbride in the side of the head because he was throwing the ball and his defense was going to have to go right back out on the field. So a coach is supposed to know what everything is doing, what every different independent operation is doing, and you make decisions over all that so you don't have a special teams coach going rogue on 4th and 20 with 2 minutes to go and effing over the other parts of the football team.
I mean, what if they had a short commercial break? How bad would that have been? Like, what if they didn't go to commercial even? They just like, okay, time out to stop the clock. And CBS, because the game was running kind of fast and they were trying to pad for the Emmys anyways, like they had another commercial. They had that full 3 minutes to discuss it. So, for some reason, the running play I have a problem with, but you have to assume that we got two more plays left. With 36 seconds and one timeout, I've got two or three plays left. They got one play, Ran. They got one play.
It's terrible. And again, I just take you back 1 week when Tom Brady was like, yeah, I'd rather have 10 seconds than a timeout.
Yeah.
Okay, think about that. I'd rather have 10 seconds. They were going to lose that game if they didn't make the field goal. I'd rather have 10 seconds and a timeout. The Cowboys couldn't function on 3rd and short with 20 seconds to go in the game. They just, the whole thing fell apart.
Dak needs to take it over. I don't know if y'all saw the Chiefs and the Ravens last night. 4th and 1, the Ravens have the ball. There's about a minute left. And John Harbaugh goes, Lamar, do you want to go for it? Lamar goes, yeah. They go for it on 4th and 1.
That was incredible.
I mean, Dak just needs to take it over if it's going to be this half-assed. But I will say, so the positive stuff about the game we did talk about in the Cussing the Cowboys podcast. I want Cowboys fans listening to us maybe be like, oh, you guys just killed them. No, they won, and we're happy
fine.
They won.
It was fun.
We talked about the good things in the podcast.
I do want to say one thing because I thought this was extraordinary, and I think this is the most incredible example of how much football has changed. That was the first 14-11 score to end a first half in the history of the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason is because you never, ever, ever in football 3 years ago would have gone for a two-point conversion in the first half.
I love it.
And the only other way to do it is to get two safeties in the first half. And if that's not a good example of how much football has changed and why you don't need to run out old dummy meathead man spitting football crap from 25 years ago, I don't know what else to tell you, man.
Well, we get into all sorts of things in the Cuss and the Cowboys podcast. Zeke and Pollard, we talk about Justin Herbert, Micah Parsons, the way the Cowboys defense has played to this date, what happens, you know, Romo sitting there talking about, well, what happens if you lose your offensive coordinator because he goes and gets a head coach coaching job the next year. So we get into all these different things. Please, after our show, go out there and find the Cussin' the Cowboys podcast. Click subscribe to it. Download it. The auto download. Is that what you said? The auto
download? Yeah, auto download button. Just smash it.
Auto download that thing. And share it with your friends. But give them the warning that there is a lot of cussing in it. That's why it's called Cussin' the Cowboys. All right, coming up next, let's talk about some new iPhone emojis that are coming soon. And thank you, Shippy, and an iPhone security breach. All that's coming your way next. If you have an iPhone, you're going to want to hear this. And if you don't have an iPhone, you're going to want to laugh at your friends with iPhones. All that's coming up next.